Triple M Rocks Sunday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017.
It's a try!
Run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M Network. For Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon.
It's what rugby league's all about. Go!
Triple M rocks the footy.
This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
Another 2017 Triple M NRL highlight.
Paul Kent, welcome along to you, old mate.
Hello, Maroon.
Now, let's start with you, Paul, from NRL 360, which I'm loving at the moment. Let's start with the papers.
What time's it on?
And what time's it on what? I just IQ it, Ryan.
Good.
So it's on when I sit on the lounge.
That's right.
Good to see there's some IQ in your house.
And welcome back to ANZ Stadium, broadcasting live for the Holden, Colorado, and our mates at AskBrydens.com.au. It's grand final day. Beautiful blue sky. You won't need your brollies today. You won't need your raincoat. You might need a jumper later. But at the moment, it's just all about the sun and people having a couple of cold ones over at the brewery there. Or Cuzzo from Manly on his way in told us, this is his advice for the day. Grab a souvlaki on the way in. It'll only cost you $12 as opposed to a kebab when you get in there at $15. But that's for you to make that choice. Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, Anthony Maroon. And we are joined right now by a grand final great from 2003 and, of course, a New South Wales State of Origin legend, Ryan Girdler. Welcome to Sunday Triple M NRL.
Hey, boys. Yeah, actually, it's only $10 a kebab. I just had one from the guys over there.
Did you
so
really?
Cuzzo's out of line.
But you would have got a discount because you're Ryan Girdler.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it was $12. I got him down to $10.
You would have bartered, did you?
Yeah, yeah. No tabbouleh, no onion.
just the meat and the bread.
Just the meat, the lettuce.
Don't even put it in foil.
That's about it.
Happy days. 14-0 at the moment. Parramatta lead Manly in the Holden Cup. 14-0 Parramatta lead Manly. We haven't got your thoughts on this grand final today with the Cowboys coming from absolutely nowhere. Do you give them a chance of winning, Ryan?
Well, they're an absolute chance. I mean, they're here, Maroon, and they've been in great form the last couple of weeks. Look, I think they need to change a couple of things for today's game if they're going to go on and beat the Melbourne Storm. I think the possession game that they've been playing over the last 3 or 4 weeks I don't believe it's going to work for them today. And I think they're going to need to be a little bit more expansive, probably try and force Melbourne into a few more errors. If you just try and go set for set with the Melbourne Storm, well, they do that better than anyone else in the competition. So I think they need to change their game just a little, the Cowboys, but if they do that and they execute well, they're a good chance.
And much has been said about preparation for grand final and how it changes into the week of the grand final with all these commitments that the players have, and both these sides, because they're not based in Sydney, they both would have been thrown out of whack to some extent. But for the Cowboys, they get to go home every week where they're local heroes. They get back into their, you know, their safety or their comfort zone. But
yeah,
I mean, they'd have been all over the place this week, some of these young blokes.
Yeah, but they have been for the last 4 weeks, Maroon. It hasn't seemed to affect them too much. And look, I think it can be a welcome distraction too. It's a big week, grand final week. Gordy will tell you there's a lot of different things going on. And look, you don't want to be thinking about the game too early, especially for the younger guys. That, and there's not a lot of young guys coming into this grand final that don't have experience at some level, yeah. But you know, it's actually a bit of a welcomed distraction. You get
but
out,
it is a good
you meet the fans, and you're not thinking about the game all week,
yep.
and you get caught up in, you know, the excitement of it. The last thing you want to do, Gordy, is play your game early in the week.
Yeah, and it's the busiest week because of all the, you know, fan days and all the stuff that you do and the breakfast and the lunches, but it's the best time to be there, and training becomes a backseat.
Yeah, it does.
And your training sessions aren't as high quality as what they probably should be when you're going to their big, but you know what to do, and I think it's all about getting your mind right and then managing the week, and obviously the side that does that the best. And you know, I think the Cowboys have 12 guys that have played in the grand final. Yep. We think that they're the underdogs and you know, like against all the odds. So you know, I don't know who's going to win. I've gone for the Cowboys, but it all depends. If Melbourne Storm start as slow as they have in their last two games, I give the Cowboys a real opportunity.
All right, Sunday Triple M NRL is thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. AskBrydens.com.au. And you spoke about them having 12 players with grand final experience going into this game, the North Queensland Cowboys. And so many of these blokes, they're kind of unsung heroes. Granted that Gavin Cooper has and does play in the Origin team, but then you've got blokes like Ethan Lowe and Kane Linnett and Kyle Felt, and they don't get all the raps, Gordy, but they've been there and they've done that, and they play at 150% every week.
If you looked at Cole, all of Cole Felt's highlights. They're big moments. Like this right-hand corner when he scores in the grand final in 2015, the try the other week against Cronulla when they pull it, like he scores points at the most important time where the contact and the collision might be 50-50, but he wins the important battles at the right moments. And Felt's big, and you know, and you've got the other big centres, mate, they just do their job. Like Caelan, like he's just been around, it's like he's been around forever.
Yeah.
Everybody that plays against him goes, oh yeah. But he gets his job done every single week. He's a big body, runs good lines.
The interesting story is obviously Michael Morgan. And I said it a couple of weeks ago to the point where he's never really been asked to do this before. And I think we're all surprised at how he's developed. But you usually just sort of have one go-to man in your side, don't you? One guy that... And JT's better than anyone at it. And I know the Melbourne Storm, they share it around a little bit more. But you got basically got two guys playing the same position here that can play the same role, and he's never needed to do it before. So I'm not that surprised that he's been able to come on and be developed in the way that he has now that, you know, he needs to play a different role. The interesting part's going to be when Thurston comes back next year and he's going to have to go back to just more of a running role and he's not going to be the main game manager if he's going to, you know, be satisfied, because he looks to be really enjoying what he's doing at the moment.
Yeah, I reckon put Thurston on the bench when he comes back.
put him in the Intrust Super Cup. Hey, guys, for those of us who have not been in the inner sanctum, here we are. What's the time? It's just a little bit after 2 o'clock. And so we're still a fair few hours away from kickoff. I guess a lot of people would like to ask a question. And that question is, where would the players be right now and what would they be doing?
Oh, they'd still be at home, probably in their hotel rooms, lying
in
their beds.
They'd be across the road. They'd be across the road right now in the hotel.
Mate, probably just lying down, or, you know, if their family comes to see them, you know, they'd probably let their little wives and kids in, for the ones that they like have them, their family, to try to keep it as normal as possible. But it'd be up to the individual, but I'd be lying down. If it's a 6:15
right
kickoff, they probably wouldn't get to the game till 4:30. So
they'd probably have lunch about 1, would they, Gordy? And then they go back to their rooms, and I'd say they'd put on a movie, have a bit of a nap, most of them. Some would go down, maybe have a coffee, meet with their family. It just depends on the individual.
It depends on the individual.
And again, for
most guys will sleep no matter what the occasion before the game.
Oh, that's the next thing I was going to ask, the question I was going to ask you. How hard would it be to have slept last night?
Well, I guess it just depends on your experience and what you've been up to before. I had no trouble, actually, before the grand final. I was, and look, you go back to what you know. And I know it's a big occasion, but usually, you know, you just go back into your rhythm. And that's certainly trying to get a good night's sleep. You know how much you need a good night's sleep. The last thing you want to be doing the night before a grand final is rolling around thinking about the game and trying not to and not being able to sleep.
We used to play cards, like a fair bit of cards, like euchre, and you'd turn the TV on or put a movie on and you'd always be distracted, but you'd make sure that you'd be around the boys and you wouldn't talk about rugby league, you'd talk about everything else but and then pretty much when you sort of start getting a bit tired, you just go straight in and then put on a movie. But there's a lot of movies that you'd be watching.
We often hear too about, you know, because, you know, at this time of year there's a lot of sports lunches and we're often hearing old players talking, and the thing that came up a lot this weekend is that grand final for us was just, some of us had a bad day. I mean, how, all the preparation, all that goes into a year, how does one have a bad day on grand final day? Does something go wrong early?
It's the pressure, and it's not the pressure, like, of you because you feel this. That's pressure, like, so there's no, but it's the pressure what the other team, it's the pressure what Melbourne Storm are going to put on the Cowboys, it's the pressure, and the scoreboard can do funny things. So everybody comes out, and there's no such thing as, like about getting ambushed, but you got to start, like Jack Gibson told me one day, he goes, make your first play your best, and it's the smartest thing that he's ever heard. And then I asked him about grand final day, I said, can you give me a tip? He goes, make your first play your best. So I'm starting the game 100 miles an hour, then your teammates see that, and the opposition feel it, hopefully. And then that's the most important play. If it's your first kick chase, if it's your first kick, if it's your first dummy half run, and you can't wait and try to work your way into the game, because that's when they call, we missed the start. You shouldn't miss the start.
Mm. Now, I find that unusual when teams say, we just couldn't get started. You've got that's when I find there's no excuse, and that's up to you. But I get the whole, the attrition. There was a famous documentary with in the NFL about the best hitters in the game. They talked about the guys playing at the line, where you got the offensive line against the defensive line. And one of the coaches after the game said, "Look, there's no scoreboard for that." He said, "But at the end of every game," he said, "those two lines," he said, "they'll know who wants to play again and who doesn't want to play again." And that's what that's the battle that goes on often out there in the grand final that we don't see, Maroon, that it can often tip the game, is that battle where two props will go at each other, or they'll just find each other, and one will just slowly get dominance over another, and then once that happens, most people don't notice it because they're watching the ball, they're watching halves coming in, they're watching where the ball's going. But they don't pay much attention to those straight hit ups and things like that. But often, the whole emotion in the game can get decided in those little contests, and that can give one side a real lift in their step the way they're playing, and makes them feel, you know what, we're going to get these blokes. You can actually feel a card, Gordon. You can feel it during the game that it's starting to turn your way, and they're starting to buckle in front of you.
Well, in 2003, when the Roosters went on that ride, and there was guys like Morley, and they were beating you up, you know, like they had a pretty big forward pack. Morley had raced out of the line, and they played Penrith in the grand final. And everybody thought that if Morley and these Roosters guys and Carlos and Croc, if they all went a bit mad, and Fletch and Rico, that the Penrith boys would have went away. And I remember a couple of shots when Benny Ross just took it up and he held his ground, and Marty Lang held his ground, and then the big Hair Bears were running. And then all of a sudden, they were just holding their own. And they weren't getting on top of each other, but the longer that they held on, the more ground. And it was a tough performance because Roosters went at them, and they just held it. And they just kept on digging into the trenches and holding on. And they didn't shirk their hit-ups, and they started running harder. Did you sense that?
Yeah, there's a lot of people sort of comparing today's grand final to that one because we were big underdogs coming into that contest. But the funny thing about that was we were actually the best side that year. We won the minor premiership, and I think we were the only people going into that game believing that we were going to win. And we didn't think... We had a little bit of an arrogance about us at the time, which I think you also need at this time of year. And John Lang wasn't the best tactician in the game as a coach, but he was a great man manager. So he had us all up. He was a really honest coach, and a lot like PK was talking about before, with, you know, that relationship with the players was key. But we didn't go in with a game plan to change the Roosters. We went in knowing that if we just played our game, we had the talent and we were good enough to win the grand final. Whereas I think with the Cowboys today, do you think they're sitting at home all week, Gordon, saying if we're a better side, if we go in and do what we do, well, we can play?
Absolutely. And then that's Paul Green. Well, every week, no one gave him a chance to beat Cronulla, and then it was Parramatta, and then it was the Roosters. I think the belief and the momentum that they would have. The biggest question that I have is, now they're up against Cameron Smith, Cooper Cronk, and Billy Slater.
And
some of these guys might have been 12, 13, 14 when Billy was playing on TV, so they might ask him for a photo or an autograph. When I played against Mel Meninga for the first time, I have to take away that's Mel Meninga, your hero when you were a kid, and that's a big challenge for the Cowboys.
All right, Sunday Triple M NRL, it's all thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. AskBrydens.com.au. We're live at ANZ Stadium. Now, of course, we had our competition, The Footy Voice, where we tried to find Triple M's next NRL commentator, Albie Tallarico. Now, you can hear the game. Well, it's going to air on our app right now, triplem.com.au. But here's a little snippet of what's going on in the Holden Cup. Have a listen to this.
Chance to get some points before half-time.
Imagine it's good to see a bit of feeling in the game.
Yeah, a bit of feeling and low scoring as well. They got lucky there. It was a poor kick from the Seagulls. He's just offside, Dean Madison. But low scoring, usually in these Holden Cup games, we found that it's high scoring. You've only got to go back to last year.
Yes.
Where Penrith, 28-6 at half time, get run down by the Roosters. So the second half might happen.
Okay, so that was mostly Jamie Soward there. So I don't know if Albie's found the commentary box.
Oh, don't you dare. White-hand.
I'm not white-handing anyone, mate. You told me Albie's going up to Brisbane.
Why don't you just let the guy get a job before you try to have him sacked, Marie?
Well, all you could hear was Sowie, wasn't it?
Yeah, because it was a break in play. Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah. We didn't get the chance to listen to some play-by-play. So
Let's go back to him.
The referee's got it in his throat at the moment.
Oh, that was a great run from Martin there. Charged onto the ball, straight in. Got his side a quick play of the ball. Gets a penalty. Again, like to see him come back to this left-hand side. Get the Parramatta defence, who's looking fatigued at the moment.
I tell you what, he is looking for extra work, Sowie.
I hope we're not paying it. Albie's not doing much commentary at the moment. But anyway, in that game, it's 14-4.
You have set that up.
Parramatta.
But you got on the app and I watch you, and then you cut up the vision.
You're the new
white. Or the voice. That is... Do you know what? You are the white ender.
Oh, I'm not the white ender.
You are.
We all know.
You're a big termite, you are.
No. I've been white anted, mate. I'm the one that gets... I'm the white antee.
14-4.
You're the big log.
Yeah, I'm the log. 14-4, Parramatta lead Manly in Holden Cup. That score is all thanks to Tyre Power. 14-4. Yesterday on Saturday NRL, the guys had an interview with Jonathan Thurston, and we've had a number of tweets, emails, etc., people wanting us to replay that interview. We will get that on for you actually next. So if you missed that Jonathan Thurston interview, great stuff. Compelling listening. We're going to do that for you next as Triple M rocks the finals.
Another Triple M NRL Grand Final stuff up.
We've had some really embarrassing moments when it comes to Grand Final entertainment. And Billy Idol in 2002, right up with the best of them. Somebody pulled the plug out. There was no power. I'm waiting for White Wedding or Rebel Yell. Didn't get any of it. And poor old Billy standing there lip-syncing, trying to get the crowd going. They couldn't even hear him.
All right! You ready to roll up? Are there any Warriors fans here? Can't hear you! Are there any Roosters fans here? Alright, let's rock!
He was walking like Mark Geyer before the 91 Grand Final. He was pacing up and down the stage. He might have been on probably the same stuff MG was too, because he was, I love my footy. He kept on saying, I love my footy. I was trying to get the power back on. But for me, that was probably one of the most embarrassing moments I saw for any performer other than Meatloaf at the AFL Grand Final.
Triple M. Triple M rocks the NRL for Brighton's lawyers. Protecting your future.
Like a Stone, Audio Slave. The album came out in 2002. I sort of listened to it all over the off-season. And then coming into 2003, it was an album that I was spending plenty of time listening to. I got injured in the first game of 2003, the grand final year. I had to spend an extended period on the sideline. And during that time, I was sort of sitting in my room. I wasn't allowed to move for 8 weeks. I was in a brace, a dislocated sternum. So that song just resonated with me. It's all about, you know, just hanging out, sitting in a room, being alone, which is exactly what I was. Then I was able to slowly start training again and get back into the squad, and then was sort of ready to start playing again. And look, we beat the Warriors in the prelim final. It was a convincing win out there at ANZ Stadium, and we qualified for the big one. I'd never been in one before, so it was an exciting time. About 12 years since Penrith had won a grand final previously, so the whole community was involved. I remember what training was like. Through the week, there was thousands of people turn up to every session, and then grand final day, we all decided to go out to the game together, jump on a bus, and then leaving Penrith and down Mulgoa Road, the streets were just lined with people wishing us all the best. Just a feeling, there was just a calmness about the group that even though we went into the final as underdogs, there was just never any doubt in anyone's mind that we thought we could win. Not many other people did, and we just had a perfect preparation, and we kind of went into that game thinking that we didn't have the best strategy or the best game plan, but we thought we had the best team to win the game, and if we played our best, that we could not be beaten. And I think that belief is essentially what won the game for us in the end, because it got to the point during the contest where, you know, it was pretty tight, and we didn't waver. We just continued on our path, knowing that what we needed to do was going to be good enough to win the game, and that's exactly what happened. So the song in the end went from being something that was, took me to a bit of a dark place to just being absolute jubilation, and it's something every time I hear it now, it gives me goosebumps, and I've got so many fond memories, and like a Stone Audio Slave, well, yeah, it was a year to remember, 2003, and what a track it is.
Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
Welcome back to it live at ANZ Stadium before the grand final, which will broadcast live for you. 14-4 in the Holden Cup at the moment. Parramatta leading that game thanks to Ty.
14-10, mate.
14-10 now. So every time I do a score, it updates just as I just as I say it.
And they've been in halftime for about 4 minutes.
14-10, and that's that. All thanks to Ty Power. Manly still leading. Nothing's changed in the last 10 seconds, Paul.
No, Parramatta are leading.
But Parramatta are leading. Are they? Parramatta are leading 14-10. Sorry. I was going to congratulate you, Ryan, on that brilliant piece with the Audio Slave song.
Oh, what a band.
That first Audio Slave album is one of my all-time favourite albums.
Yeah, a lot of good tracks on that one, Maroon.
You like that and Queen, don't you? Can I?
Pardon me?
Audio Slave and Queen.
From no, yes, in that order.
From
yeah.
He died a couple of years ago. Was it 2 years? Yeah, Chris Cornell, 1 year.
No, it was earlier this year.
Was this it this year? Year
yeah,
it?
This year he died. But I mean,
that bloke's dead, brown bread.
Yeah, he's dead. Wow. Yeah. So sound. I got to like him more with Audio Slave.
Yeah,
I just love Audio Slave.
Brown bread. No, you don't.
Anyway. What? Mate, it's too early. They're too early? It's about timing.
Too early,
Gordon, to say he's lemon spread.
Yeah, exactly. No jokes about Hugh Hefner either. Now, that one you told was disgusting.
The jacket's enough.
Yeah, being half-mast or something, whatever you said. That's disgusting. Oh, come on. And it's sexist. Let's talk a bit of football. Yesterday, the Saturday NRL team spoke to Jonathan Thurston. Lots and lots of positive feedback about that interview. Let's replay it for you now on Sunday Triple M NRL, thanks to Brighton's.
Boys, Jonathan Thurston is on the phone. JT, welcome to Triple M NRL. How are you, mate?
Yeah, very well, thanks.
Firstly, look, we know that it's been an amazing ride and you've been on it with the team, but there must be a little part of you, mate, that's a little bit envious. You're not going to be out there tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'd love to be out there, obviously, but, known for a long time now if I was been injured for a while, so I knew this day would be coming, and there's no point in me walking around with my bottom lip out. It's not going to do anyone any favours. So, I've been trying to help out the boys as much as possible on the field and video sessions and doing some work with the coaching staff as well. So I really enjoyed that role while I've been injured.
You talk about helping out the boys, mate. One of the things that you've been able to probably do, and you're doing it right now, is take a little bit of a heat out of some of the communication that they need to have with the media. So you've been stepping up and doing a lot of that for them, and that probably allows them to focus a little bit more on the game.
Yeah, that's right. When you're heading into a big game, you don't want any distractions, as little distractions as possible. So that's what I'm here for. If the boys need anything, they know to come and ask me. So, I'm more than happy to put my hand up and help in any way possible.
JT, it's Del, mate. How are you going?
Yeah, good, brother.
Hey, mate, just talk us through Scott Bolton. Mate, James Tarmow last year obviously was, pretty good for you. Matt Scott, But Scott Bolton, I didn't know he had an engine like that, mate. He's one of been one of the unsung heroes of your team this year.
Yeah, he has. You know, he's played over 200 games for the club.
Yeah.
You know, we've put him up into a leadership role. He was pretty reluctant to take on that role. He doesn't really speak up too much, but when you've played 200 NRL games, that comes with it, leadership. And, you know, it's, since Stumper's been injured, he's really taken that forward pack on and, you know, helped us a lot of the younger boys. So he's busting out a lot more minutes than he's had to previous years, but he's been doing an outstanding job for us. And, yeah, like I said, you know, he's really grabbed that leadership role now with two hands, and he's ran with it.
Yeah, JT, it's Sowie, mate. I just wanted to apologise for falling asleep nude on your bed in the 2010 Indigenous Stars.
Right.
I was pretty nervous that week, and just wanted to get that out of the way. I haven't spoken to you since, but tell us what kind
might
of
be a reason for that.
Yeah. Well, I was in a bit better shape than I am now, Gerd. So
there wasn't much to look at, was there, JT?
Oh, I was face down. Hey, JT, what have you been able to say to a guy like Tamaro Martin? Obviously makes a switch midway through the year. Have you been able to give him some advice? And I think you've rubbed off on helping his game this year.
Yeah, he's a really good kid, actually. He's wants to learn the game. He's always asking questions about different situations. You know, what should I do here? You know, help Morgo, stuff like... He's just really wants to learn about the game. So he's been a great addition for us this year, and he's, you know, playing some really good footy for us as well. So he's obviously very comfortable in the team now, and, you know, he's formed a really good combination with Morgo and taken off a bit of heat with Morgo. So, yeah, he's been outstanding for us.
JT, you touched on Michael Morgan there. From a playmaking point of view, what do you put his continued improvement down to over the course of the last 8 weeks? Because he really is the form playmaker of the competition.
Yeah, I think it's his game management. You know, he was fairly reluctant to take on the role, but, you know, since coming out of the test and the Origins, he's... yeah, the more time he spends there, the better he is. And you've seen that over the last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks. His game has just started going to another level. I've been really impressed with his kicking game. You know, that's a big part of semi-finals football, is where you turn over the ball. And, you know, he's been forcing line dropouts. He's been, you know, standing the back three still and getting chases down there. And his game management, you know, that's where I've seen his game come on in leaps and bounds, is certainly his game management, knowing what the team needs at certain times in the game. And, yeah, he's, you know, playing great footy for us, and no doubt we'll need him to do that again.
Is that something that you personally have been working on him with?
I think it's just started coming to him a bit naturally. He's a pretty deep thinker, Morgs. So he's got a great awareness of the game, and I think it's just about him having that self-belief. Like, all the boys around him know how good he is, but he's too humble of a person to, you know, talk about it and things like that. And, you know, I think he's finally realised how good he can be, and, you know, and with that comes experience. And he's playing the best footy of his life. But, yeah, you know, he's got a really good footy brain. And, you know, he's calmness as well. You know, he doesn't look too frantic. You know, he's got a real calmness about him, which you need in big games. As the chief playmaker, you don't want to be, you know, running around erratic, because that feeds off on the playing group. And, you know, he's really calm and controlled in everything that he's doing, and that's what you need from your chief playmaker.
JT, there was a time there, third Origin, I think, in the dressing room, and there was, obviously, you guys had won the Origin series, and you were sitting there, and Cam Munster was celebrating, and you were letting him have his moment, and then he sort of comes over to you, sits there, and sort of just talks to you. Mate, can you believe the confidence of a young man going from, like, fullback to 5'8" in the way that he's played?
Yeah, he's been outstanding. He's just a natural footballer, Munster. We call him Tum Tum. he's a larrikin. He's a real boys' boy, you know. Like, so he's very fun to have around. He's a character, and you know, the confidence of these boys these days, you know, it's not like when I was first coming through, you know, you wouldn't say boo to, you know, Darren Britt or Steve Reardon or, you know, guys like that that have, you know, played 200 games, and these boys now, they come in and put crap on you and, you know, stir you up and, yeah, so, you know, they got a lot of confidence, and I suppose you need it this day and age in the game that you have, that we play as well.
You've played so far, the style of footy you guys have been playing, you know, you've been really patient, you've been calm, as you spoke about, led by Michael Morgan, your high completion rate, high possession rate. Is that enough to beat the Storm, or do you guys need to play a little bit of a different style tomorrow night to get the job done?
No, we believe our game plan that we've the boys have been executing, and we believe our game is good enough to get the job done against the Storm. Like you just mentioned, all those things, high completion rate, a good kicking game, and making sure that you're asking plenty of questions. And the boys have been, if we can apply a bit of a scoreboard pressure, then hopefully you know, we can start to see some errors from some of the younger boys in that team, because you know you're not going to get errors from the elder statesmen of the Melbourne Storm. And with the Storm, they don't give you much, so when you get an opportunity, you need to take it, because they don't give you twice. So, you know, you really need to execute your game plan, and we believe we've come up with one to put a lot of pressure on them and get the job done. So no doubt we'll need to go again, improve on last week, and you know the boys are well aware of that.
Yeah, you're working with the kickers before you came on air, JT. We're working with Ethan Lowe ahead of tomorrow. He's going to have a couple of big kicks, hopefully, to put your side ahead or put him in crucial moments, as he did against the Roosters. Have you done much work with him throughout the year?
Yeah, done a fair bit of work with Ethan. He's been putting a lot of practice into it, and you know, that's another thing. You know, turning 4 points into 6 points, you start applying a bit of scoreboard pressure to teams, and you know, they start going out of what they normally do, and you know, that forces a bit of error. So, yeah, goal kicking is extremely important in big games, and he was outstanding for us over the course of, you know, the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Hey, JT, just a quick one on Cole Felt. Mate, that groin injury, is he going to be okay? Because for him to stay on to play that position and score that try last week, that was a massive clutch play.
Yeah, no, the groin will be sweet. No doubt it will get tested with a few of his leaps, but yeah, it's not giving him any grief. He's, you know, done every training session this week, and he looked pretty sharp out there too under the high ball. Yeah. So, he'll be ready to roll.
He's come a long way, hasn't he? I remember in the under-20s grand final, I think he was a bit unlucky. There was a play there, I think he missed a kick, and he's just sort of evolved as a finisher.
Yeah, he's one of the best finishers in the game. Some of the tries that he's been able to score, and you know, he's been doing that ever since he come through. So he's a confident kid, and he can score tries, and that's what you need from your wingers, is making sure that they find the try line when no one else gives them a chance to.
Well, he's going to need to be good tomorrow. He's up against a couple of good wingers for the Storm as well, mate. So we really appreciate your time. Thanks, JT. Mate, enjoy the game tomorrow night, mate. I hope you can, and wish the boys good luck from us all here at Triple M.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me, boys.
Thank you,
Cowboys.
Yeah, right on, Cowboys.
That's Jonathan Thurston joining us yesterday on Saturday, Triple M NRL. And, of course, we do it thanks to askbrydens.com.au. Manly and Parramatta are 14-all now in the Holden Cup. Foregone second half, 14-all. Manly kick to come. That all thanks to Tyre Power.
Gordy, how do you reckon the week's been for Matty Scott? Would have been, you know, making himself available, obviously, knowing that he's probably not going to get a start, but knowing that he's probably fit enough to play in a grand final.
Yeah, well, you don't know whether, you know, that he was, you know, able, or he was close, or whether he was, you know, whether it was 2 weeks away, but I always saw that if he was going to play, and I said it, he had to play
He
had to play the week before to see. And then, like I heard, you know, Paul Green say, well, he'll play 20 minutes and 10 minutes, but the guys that got him there, part of that is I agree with the 17 that got him there need to play. But
they all got him there. I mean, the squad got him there. And you need to look at this Cowboys side and ask yourself, Gordon, I'm the biggest stage. Are they a better side? Are they a better 17 if Matt Scott plays?
Yes, absolutely.
So then why isn't he playing?
Because I don't reckon he's 100% fit to play. Otherwise, he would play.
No conversion there, Manly for Manly. So still 14-all. Holden Cup, foregone second half, that for Tyre Power. And, yeah, look, I want to ask this question in relation to that. Again, this is coming from the outer sanctum, someone who's never
played any role in an NRL club. A guy like Matt Scott, granted, I know he's a grand final hero, I know he's an Origin player, I know he's an international, I know he's one of the best forwards in the world. But from the outside looking in, bloke like me says, hang on, I think he last played in round three.
Round two, round three, yeah. But you know what, it's whether you play or not, it's mentally, like he's been there, he's played in the toughest arena, he's played big games before, so he'd know how to get him. Because I don't think that he's 100% fit.
He's played in the toughest arena. He's played in the grand finals.
But you've got to be 100% fit to play in big games, and especially when you've had that long out. I reckon if he was right to play and he played the week before, well, certainly, well, like you play him last week and this week. So I reckon it was a bit of a smokescreen, you know, one of those ones. So then last week wasn't about the Cowboys. It was about Matt Scott. Will he play? Won't he play? There was a couple of days of all of us talking about, well, Matt Scott might play, and then he gets ruled out. Well, but then he's definitely going to play this week.
He's come down with the squad. He's going to warm up, and if someone, and they've said all week that if someone's injured at training or someone's injured in the warm-up, he will take play. So the only way I don't think he's fit is that he's not match fit, which has a fair bit of a role to play. But wouldn't you think that he could come on? You know, you take Tom Malolo off at 32 minutes, couldn't you put Matt Scott on from 32, you know, and then get him on the first 15, 10 minutes of the second half, and then Tom Lolo comes back on?
That's how I would have played it.
Because I know that, you know, Jensen and done a wonderful job, but he only plays about 15 minutes a game anyway, doesn't he? So it's not like they're really relying on that, you know, forward rotation with the side that they have.
They just want someone to give Tom Lolo a spell. That's all it is. And if you can give Tom Lolo a spell by bringing Matt Scott on, the one concern the Cowboys have, which is legitimate, is if they did play him and for example, there's an injury in the 15th minute,
and he
which affected the rotation, and just, rather than playing just 10 minutes each side of halfway, he suddenly had to try to punch out 25, 30 minutes. One, he could be found wanting from a fitness point of view, specifically. But secondly, he could also, as you know, when you get fatigued, that's when you're more susceptible to injuries and certainly re-injuring the knee. Coming back. So if it's got 6 more months with the off-season, it'll be much stronger than what it is now. So they didn't want him to fatigue and then have to put pressure on it and re-injure it that way. But the other way I look at it is you play every year to play grand finals and win grand finals, and they've got an opportunity. They're in the grand final. They're in it. Why would you put Matt Scott in then? But, look, Paul Green, you can't argue with it.
Mm. Yeah, mate, of course he would have sat there with the medical staff and had a really good chat, and obviously Matt, and there's a reason why, because all those things that we talk about and the experience, and Temalolo comes off, and you go, well, 8 minutes, well, certainly he'll get to 8 minutes in a grand final fresh, and then he gets a 10 or 15 minute break on grand final day, and then he comes back and say, mate, when you're gassed out, put your hand up, and then on comes Temalolo, who can play the rest of the game out. It's a no-brainer, so there must be something just a little bit deeper.
All right, Sunday Triple M NRL, thanks to Bryden's Lawyers, live at ANZ Stadium right through till kickoff, and then we will call the grand final for you on the Triple M Network to the station you are listening to right now. Gordon Tallis and Ryan Gerdler, Paul Kent and Anthony Maroon. It is 14-all in Holden Cup at the moment.
Are you sure?
It's definitely 14-all.
Who's winning?
Well, Manly just missed a goal. A 6-gone second half, 14-all. Now, when it comes to grand finals, I think a lot of us remember, recent memory, the South Sydney giving it to the Bulldogs in the 2014. Well, you don't remember it. You must have a bad memory.
I remember.
Yeah, but that's not the grand final that we all...
Well, I think it's one of those ones we all remember. I think it's one of those ones. It was a great day. South Sydney winning the premiership.
I don't even remember.
They've now won five of their last six premierships. And on that day, George Burgess scored a memorable front rowers try. Here it is, a classic grand final moment from Rugby League Royalty, the South Sydney Rabbitohs, on Sunday Triple M NRL.
Another Triple M NRL grand final try.
In 2014, to sit there and you heard so much about South Sydney being the pride of the league, and you didn't realise until they went on that grand final run and they were getting close to winning. And that day at that stadium was one of the greatest footy moments that I've had. And, you know, Sam Burgess, like the storyline between, you know, fracturing his cheekbone in the first hit of the game and how courageous he was to play the 80 minutes and to play the way he did. But for mine, the best player on the field was George Burgess, and that try he scored, the way he shrugged off players and stepped and scored, and that was a true front rowers try. That was, get out of my way, here I come, stop me if you can.
Ball now played to Coruscant, runs to his right, turns it infield to George Burgess. He gets past Tony Williams. Wow. George Burgess has scored one of the great grand final tries.
It was really fitting that a Burgess should score what proved to be the significant try in that game. South Sydney just looking to break the game open, and George Burgess with his carry going through three, four, five defenders to slam the football down under the post. That really turned the tide, and South Sydney went on to win their first title in 43 years.
Triple M rocks Sunday Arvo footy for Brighton's lawyers, protecting your future. Another 2017 Triple M NRL highlight.
There's a little putt-putt at Moore Park and had the golf clubs in the back and going to hit a few balls on the driving range, and because it was a big lineup to play putt-putt, then go play putt-putt, and then my boys are hitting and they got their sets, and then my partner Gemma thought, oh yeah, I'm going to jump on and have a go. Which club do you use? So she wanted to use like the big driver, you know, so she pulled out the big...
What, a putt-putt?
No, because it's in the driving range before we were waiting to go to putt-putt.
Oh.
So then she's trying to hit, you know, they just put them up on that rubber thing and hit it off, and she swung my brand new ping driver and broke the shaft.
Fair dinkum.
Yes. Oof,
there's so your girlfriend broke your shaft. There's nothing worse than that.
The golf shaft.
Yeah.
And there's nothing worse because the shaft and the head, it goes together and it's my favourite club. In golf terms.
Right.
In golf terms. And what happened was my favourite club now is broken.
All right, okay.
Moving right along.
Never miss a minute of the footy. Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. For Brighton's lawyers, protecting your future. This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
Put your clothes on, Gerd. It's not over yet.
With Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon. Triple M rocks the footy.
And time for the Iveco Trucks preview of the grand final between the Cowboys and the Melbourne Storm. Still 14-all. Holden Cup Grand Final, 15 gone second half, and Iveco Trucks, strong by nature, iveco.com.au. Well, boys, we've got 10 minutes together for the rest of 2017.
I'm a little bit disappointed.
That's it for us, so I'll go out by saying to you and Ryan, to Paul Kent, I just can't wait to get away from you three for a few months. And let me tell you why.
Okay.
Because I'm sick of you interrupting me every time I start speaking, and all three of you, every time... One of you, every time I turn to one of you and you're chewing on a lolly or eating a burger, I cover for you and I turn back and I don't cross to you yet or you finish eating. But soon as I make a mistake, you're all over me like a cheap suit. You blokes make mistakes and I let it just go under
suits,
the...
Where did you get that one from?
See, you're interrupting me again. So to get 3 months away from your 4 months or whatever it is, thank God. If you have any get-togethers, don't ask me.
Can we just do a conference call, like a tele call next week, and just?
I was actually talking to the boss the other day. Knew him when I have longer than 3 months off.
Whatever you do, Albie's come going anywhere well near Little Bay. Don't
Albie's
come anywhere
going
near
really
me.
Well, by the way.
How is Albie?
He's going really well.
And he's the winner of The Voice. Anyway, that's what I want to say for 2017. Have a good think about what you've put me through this year,
yep.
And how not on one occasion. Have any of you supported me? You did once, Kenty.
When?
And I thought, I won't even point out that he did because he'll turn on me again.
Mate, so, I haven't said a word about your new tooth all year.
Yeah.
That's true. All right, let's have a talk about the game.
We couldn't do outside broadcast because of your smile.
Oh, hang on a second. It's nice and straight now.
As soon as you got them fixed, we could start going out there to the masses.
Happy days. How do you see this one, Gordon?
Oh, well, all grand finals, it just comes down to moments and plays and... the team that wants it the most, and they're both going to want it the same. And I like momentum. I like momentum, and I like
the team that wants it the most, and they're both going to want it the same.
Yeah, so well, it's going to be a draw.
No, well, they are, but I like momentum.
I'll be playing extra time until November.
I just think that the Storm, that the way they play every week, they've got, you know, say 5 to 10% improvement. But I think that when other sides come to finals, you know, there's a little bit more. And I reckon that the Cowboys have proven that when they played against the Sharks probably thought that they were just going to go there and do their job, and the Cowboys were going to die. And the same with Parramatta, and then. And then the Roosters last week, and I just think that the Cowboys, they're tough, they're resilient. Michael Morgan is playing as good as any playmaker that has taken a team to the final series. Temalolo, as what Matty John said, and I've got to agree, he's the best forward I have seen. His last 8 weeks of football has been as good as anybody in the last 20 years, you know. So is that what Matt Scott and Thurston brought to this side? And there's another 12 guys that have played. So being in North Queensland, I'm going to go for the Cowboys in a tight one.
All right. Look, I tell you what. Well, while I've got a second, one bloke that does back me, a true friend.
We finally got there.
The karaoke king of the coast, Bill Harrigan, who will be like part of the commentary team
I'm
tonight.
I'm trying to get to the last 10 minutes.
That's Bill, all right, brother.
You see what you're doing now, Gordon? You see? I'm trying to take control. That's my job, right? I know there's only 4 minutes left for me this year, but I'm trying to take control. See, when I start to talk, that's when the ship's got to get back on track. You understand? You understand, do you? Bill Harrigan, welcome.
Hello, Maroon.
Hey, Bill.
Gordy.
If you had to say a couple of things to the referees tonight, what would you say?
Oh, first off, is go out and enjoy themselves. They're obviously going to go out and do the best job that they can. They've already won their grand final when they got the appointment, but they've got to finish it off. It's the icing on the cake to make sure that they finish this game. They come off the field. Hopefully there's no controversy. And we're not talking about them on the Monday. And if they do that, mate, they've done their job.
All right, and you'll be part of the commentary team with Dan, Ryan and Wendell and Gordy. It's no, not Gordy. 6 o'clock tonight. Paul Kent, how do you see it, mate?
Oh, look, I think the Cowboys have done a great job going this far. What I don't know the answer to is how much of their performance so far has been built around the emotion of getting there. I think there's a lot of teams that get on those rolls and they go through and so much of that's been put down to emotion. The Cowboys, I think initially that's the way I was beginning to think, but I think just recently, last week in particular, that there's a lot more to the game than just the emotion of it. But if the emotion gets tested today, if Melbourne can skip away, I think Melbourne will really go on with it, which is generally the way I see the game going. I think Melbourne are a side that they're like a python. They just put you in a grip and then they just squeeze you to death. And if they can do that to the to the Cowboys, I think they'll get them. And I think they'll get them quite handily, to be honest.
All right, speaking of pythons, Ryan Girdler, how do you see this game today?
I think that you've put me right off there, Maroon. I don't think the game the Cowboys have been playing to get them here is going to be good enough to beat the Storm, to be honest. I think they're going to have to change a few things up, and the Melbourne Storm are really good at capitalising on opportunity, and I don't know. I just think that they're the best attacking side in the competition, Melbourne. They identify issues and weaknesses, and they get to that part of the field better than anyone else in the competition. I know the Cowboys have come out and said that they're really fit and healthy. Well, the last 20 minutes of the game last week, I saw a lot of busted and bruised players, and I know they've had a fair week to get over that, but, gee, it's been a big month for them, and I just think that, if the Melbourne Storm come out and do what they do, and we expect both sides to play their best today, I think Melbourne are the better team.
All right, well, I'm off to do a wonderful corporate function with the good folk at the Bulldogs, their 2017 Grand Final luncheon. Gordon, tell us, where are you off to?
The bar.
Just inside to go watch the game of footy.
Okay, mate, well, have a lovely off-season, and I will be coming to visit you in Brisbane during that period.
You're more than welcome, Paul and Ryan.
Thank you, Gordon. Ryan Girdler. Thanks, mate. Have a great call tonight.
You've been a great season. Really enjoyed it, Maroon, and enjoy your off-season.
Good on you, mate. And Kenny, we'll see you. We'll read all about it in the telly and see you next year on 360.
Yeah, I've had a great time this year. Thank you, everybody. Maroon, you've been the standout, mate. I really appreciate your help this year.
Oh, Kenty! Kenty! He saved the best of luck. All right, we're going to take a break. Come back. Tony Squires will take over on Sunday Triple M NRL.
Another Triple M NRL Grand Final try.
Michael Jennings in 2013 for the Roosters. A little kick went through and Jennings went through. Looked like the ball was going to go dead. Jennings didn't give up and he was quick enough to get there. What a Grand Final try that was.
The five gone. Kick from the low knee into the infield too deep. I think no! No! Jennings! Jennings has fallen from nowhere. This is superhuman. This is unbelievable.
If he skips a hand on the football, which he has, that's magnificent.
That is just absolutely stupendous. It is freakish. To be travelling at that speed and then control the ball the way he did there, that is freakish.
We're so blessed with watching finishes on the wings and fullbacks and some of the players that we have, but Michael Jennings able to get this ball down against Manly in 2013 was absolutely amazing. No one had given him a chance. Jennings contorts his body to be able to get the ball down. The interesting thing was Brett Stewart had actually gone to the wing. David Williams had gone to fullback for that set, and in the end, they end up getting stung by that Manly, and Jennings scores one of the most amazing tries in grand final history.
Triple M rocks the NRL. The Brighton Lawyers, protecting your future.